Okay, well, thank you very much for the invitation. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate Dougal Goodman putting this together. I think that Sir David King and Bernie Bulkin have given us some excellent points, and I want to give you some other food for thought. I have a little different perspective. I'm looking at more from a kind of political economy lens. I certainly agree 100% that we need better and cheaper low-carbon technologies if we're going to try to keep the temperature rise less than 2 degrees. As you'll see, we've had talks at UNFCCC for many years, and you continue to have global emissions rise. So in my talk, I'm going to talk about four things. First, how the U.S. fully realizes we have to act to avoid climate change. President Obama and Secretary Kerry both get it, and that's clear. Second, that we're working very hard to make the UNFCCC talks succeed in Paris. Third, I'm going to talk about our energy strategy, which we call all of the above, which means it's technologically neutral. We support a lot of different types of energy. And fourth, so I'll go through some of our support for solar, wind, CCS, and talk a little bit about storage and smart grids as well. But first, just some charts. I shamelessly ripped off the International Energy Agency as well for some of these, and others are U.S. Obviously, these are emissions continue to increase, even though we've had talks since 1992 here. There have been some dips, there have been some successes, but still it goes up. And that's why I think one of the missing ingredients is technology. This shows emissions by region. Normally an American doesn't say this, but I'll say we're number two, and we're happy about that. But you see China is very significant. And these show some of the graphs. Reflect some of the graphs that Sir David King was pointing to earlier. I just want to make one quick point. This is saying that we need trillions of dollars, roughly 35 or more trillion dollars to make the transition. So trying to get this investment is something that's very important. We have had some good news. It's not 35 trillion, but you know, we're getting up to $250 billion in investment into various types of wind, bioenergy, hydropower, solar, things like that. So we have had increased investment, although we still need a lot more, obviously. This is a chart. I think it's just interesting where the United States gets its power. Now, look, coal, I think it's surprising how, yes, it's declined, but how significant it still is to generate electricity. Natural gas has really taken the place of coal in many ways. Nuclear is basically stable. Hydro is basically stable. You've got wind is coming up here, and then others, that includes solar, they're starting to increase. But still, that's a low base compared to all the other sources of electricity in the United States. Okay, I want to talk about climate change a little bit. I know that within the UK, many times there's a lot of skepticism about what the US is doing, but this is a time that we are very, very committed to action on climate change. President Obama said, climate change is a fact. When our children's children look us in the eye and ask if we did all we could to leave them with a safer, more stable world, new source of energy, I want to be able to say, yes, we actually did. And we're taking action on there. At home, we have a climate action plan, which reduces carbon emissions by 26 to 28% by 2025. And that includes energy efficiency, low carbon source of energy, and also our power plants meeting stringent environmental standards. We're also doing a lot internationally. I think our joint announcement with China last November was a real game changer. China agreed to, for the first time, to peak global emissions and a path for reduction. They're very serious about their work on this. And although there's going to be tough talks at Paris, we have the EU, US, and China all have agreed, over half of global emissions agreed to for reductions. And in Paris, we're seeking an ambitious, durable, and effective agreement. It has to cover all countries if it's going to be effective. We're not looking at a top-down Kyoto protocol approach, but instead each country putting in their intended nationally determined contributions. So we think that this is the way going forward and we can make real progress. But I do want to point out that Paris is not, a lot of people think, is it going to be successful? We'll know after the Paris conference. We will not. That's one way station, and then we'll continue to go forward from there. We think that we can ratchet up ambition as time goes along because the cost of technology will decline, and then there will be additional pressure also. A lot of people talk about U.S., they look at the U.S. Congress. And yes, we are not, you have a Climate Change Act. We are not going to have a Climate Change Act anytime in the near future, although President Obama is doing as much as he can. But many states, our subnational actors, have done things. 30 states have renewable energy standards. California, it's 20%. There are different emissions. There are several emissions trading schemes and pushing for smart grids. So a lot of states, a lot of the actions on the state level. Okay, now I want to move over to the energy strategy. And as you see, we've got almost everything there. Clean coal, nuclear, wind, biofuels, natural gas, solar. And our idea is that we will provide a lot of support for all of these different types of energy, and then we'll let the marketplace decide what works the best. First, I'd like to talk about solar. Everybody's talked about that a lot, and the reason is because the costs have come down dramatically, but our goal is to reduce them in a 10-year program called the Sunshine Initiative much, much further to 6 cents per kilowatt hour by 2020. And we're working with our businesses and universities, and there's many different things that we're working with Sunshot, and we find that it's been very successful. We've actually reduced the cost by 60% in the first 4 years, and we're creating a solar industry as well. So our goal is to reach grid parity. We're already there in California or different in some places, but throughout the United States. And as we've said, if solar costs can come down, then that will have a tremendous impact on India and Africa and other places that right now, business as usual, would lead to greatly increased carbon emissions. We also are working on wind. This is the same thing. We're working with industry, academics, and research institutions. We want to have a cost-competitive wind energy. I would disagree with my colleague Bernie that saying that there isn't much potential for reducing onshore wind costs. We think that there still is in terms of wind turbines, materials, manufacturing. So there's a lot of things that we think can still be done on wind. And this shows the cost curve has come down tremendously. Yes, it has flattened out some, but it's still reducing. And so we think that if you continue to work on it, you can reduce that even further. And wind has become very significant in the United States. I showed you in the first graph that it's producing significant amounts of energy. We hope it will continue to increase. And we actually are looking to export wind energy now. We do some on offshore wind. As in the United States, we have an enormous country. We have a lot more potential for onshore wind. So, but offshore wind is also something we're working on. Okay, CCS. A lot of people are down on CCS, not just Bernie, but many people. They think that either all energy should come from renewables or that CCS technology is developing too slowly. It is taking a while, but if you look at the graphs and the projections, they believe that fossil fuels will still be used for decades to come. So I've heard the phrase that nobody loves CCS, and that's probably true, but we don't need to love it, but we do need it. Because it's very hard to meet our emission targets without CCS. According to the International Energy Agency, they think that CCS will contribute 14% of our cumulative emission reductions. We have some commercial size projects. Canada has a Boundary Dam project. The United States has a project as well. The UK actually is a leader within Europe with your commercialization program. I just was at a conference yesterday where they're talking about it and ways to move forward the two projects that have been selected for engineering studies and then also hopefully a second generation of projects. This is just a list of what the U.S. is doing on CCS. There's different kinds of technology, but many of these are very significant. The third one down there, Southern Company, is actually building a commercial-sized plant. It's taken a lot of time. It's cost $6.1 billion, but it will be in technical operation by the end of this year and commercial operation by the mid-2016. So, and this would provide 582 megawatts of power. And it uses coal and then puts in the carbon for enhanced oil recovery. So that's a real plant that's out there that's showing that CCS can be workable. Okay, so those are some of the low-carbon technologies. Now I'd like to move a little bit to smart grids. I think that it's very clear there's a huge need for it. You know, when I started looking to this, I was really surprised by how unsmart our grids are right now. They're using technology that's decades and decades old, and the patchwork system, at least in the U.S., is just struggling to keep up. You know, if you're, like at my house, you have more and more electronic devices, and you keep plugging them into the wall. And that's why there's a huge need for a better grid system. Because in other places, we have a lot of communication, so that, you know, there's smart communication. If there's a need, then you can communicate that, and it will come back. Here in the with the grid, the power goes out, there's a spike in demand. It takes a long time to know what is actually needed. But if we can have a smart grid, that will be a terrific advantage. The U.S. Department of Energy has $4.5 billion, which I think is clearly real money, to modernize the electrical power grid. We're doing R&D, demonstration deployment, looking at interoperability and interconnection. So there's a lot of work to be done there. Also, energy storage. We have I think this is an important piece of the puzzle. We've all talked about how it's really needed, because when you have variable power coming online, you need energy storage to be able to smooth out the peaks and valleys, eliminate the need for power plants. The U.S. Department of Energy has a program to encourage research and development in energy storage. They've also working with California, which is encouraging 1.3 gigawatts of energy storage by 2022. And companies are talking about this, too. I just had a U.S. company, major energy company, AES, pitch me about this yesterday, saying that they're developing 40 to 80 megawatt storage, energy storage from lithium batteries. And they claim that with the right enabling environment, then they can actually provide energy storage without a subsidy. So there are a lot of things going on there. This is a chart of all millions of types, well, maybe not millions, but many, many types of energy storage. Goes from research development over there to demonstration deployment to commercialization. The vast, vast majority of current is pumped storage hydropower. I don't know if they're David's Farm going up and down, but it is done. But there are also other types like lithium batteries, flywheel, a few other things that Bernie mentioned. So I just wanted to give you so those are a few points, and I'm sure we'll have a very interesting discussion, but we are very committed to action on climate change. We support a lot of different types of low-carbon technologies, and our goal is cost parity. So I think that we have a very similar goal to the Apollo program. We can look at ways to have technological assistance and talk about things to try to share information, because obviously I think technology is the real key to meeting our climate change targets. Okay, thank you very much.